Hi, everyone. So I'm currently inside my dorm, and there might be some background noises, and that's because they're having a party downstairs. But anyways, picture this. A brilliant teenager in rural Bangladesh develops a breakthrough battery design that could revolutionize energy storage. In Silicon Valley, a quantum computing startup burns through 2 million monthly just keeping their systems cooled. In rural Mississippi, a diabetes patient can't afford the latest continuous glucose monitor that could save their life. In Shenzhen, a factory automates production with robots that cost more than most people make in a lifetime. All cutting-edge technology, all transforming our world, but who gets to benefit from the transformation? Welcome to the gatekeeping of innovation in 2025. I am your host, Belinda Chin, and this is Us and Tomorrow, where we look into how breakthrough technologies reach or don't reach the people who need them most. Today, we are diving into the most consequential pattern of our time as revolutionary technologies emerge faster than ever before. The gap between those who can access them and those who can't isn't just there, but it's actually accelerating. From AI to gene therapy, from quantum computing to precision agriculture, from advanced manufacturing to space tech, we're living through an unprecedented wave of innovation. But innovation for whom? Let's start with a promise. Every breakthrough tech comes with the same narrative. This will democratize access, level the playing field, solve problems for everyone. Sometimes that is true to some extent. The internet genuinely transformed global communication. Mobile phones leapfrogged infrastructure limitations in developing nations. But here's the uncomfortable pattern. Most revolutionary technologies follow a predictable path. They start expensive and exclusive, gradually become more accessible, but by the time they reach broader populations, the innovators have moved on to the next exclusive frontier. The result? A permanent innovation class and everyone else playing catch up with yesterday's breakthroughs. Take electric vehicles. A Tesla Model S cost $70,000 when it launched in 2012. Today, you can get an electric car for $30,000. Genuine progress. But while we were celebrating that accessibility win, Tesla was developing autonomous driving systems that cost $15,000 extra. Quantum-resistant security chips and battery technologies that most manufacturers can't match. The pattern repeats across every tech sector. As one innovation becomes accessible, the cutting edge moves further away. Let's talk about what this actually costs society. The numbers are staggering when you add them up across all emerging technologies. Quantum computing development requires facilities that cost $100 to $500 million to build. Gene therapy treatments run $2 million to $3 million per patient. Advanced manufacturing robots cost $150,000 to $500,000 each. A single industrial 3D printer capable of metal printing costs $1 to $5 million. Space tech. A satellite launch costs $5,000 to $10,000 per kilogram. Precision agriculture drones start at $15,000. Advanced medical imaging equipment costs $500,000 to $3 million per machine. But it's not just the hardware. The real barrier is the ecosystem. To use quantum computing effectively, you need quantum physicists. To implement gene therapy, you need specialized medical facilities. To deploy advanced manufacturing, you need trained technicians and entirely new supply chains. Each technology creates its own exclusive club of people who can afford not just the tools, but the entire infrastructure needed to use them effectively. Sorry that I have bombarded you with numbers and figures, but I just want to show you the concentration of breakthrough technology. 60% of AI research happens, sorry, that's another number, I promise there will be less, of AI research happens in just 5 metropolitan areas. Quantum computing research is concentrated in fewer than a dozen facilities globally. Gene therapy development occurs primarily in Boston, San Francisco, and a few European cities. And this isn't accidental, as you might imagine. Cutting-edge technology requires massive capital, specialized talent, advanced infrastructure, and regulatory environments that can handle rapid innovation. Those conditions exist in very few places. The result is innovation apartheid. Certain regions become labs for the future, while others become markets for mature technologies. Silicon Valley tests autonomous vehicles while most of the world still lacks reliable public transportation. Boston develops precision medicine while billions lack access to basic healthcare. But here's what's really concerning. As technologies become more sophisticated, the geographic concentration is intensifying, not diminishing. The infrastructure requirements for next generation innovation are so massive that only the wealthiest regions can participate. Technology doesn't just require money, it requires human capability, and the educational infrastructure needed to develop that capability is itself becoming a luxury good. A degree in quantum computing, bioengineering, or advanced robotics costs $200,000 to $400,000 at top universities. The equipment needed for hands-on learning costs millions. The internships and research opportunities that provide real experience are concentrated at elite institutions and major corporations. Meanwhile, community colleges struggle to keep their computer labs updated with 5-year-old software. Rural schools can't afford STEM teachers. Developing nations send their brightest students abroad for advanced education, creating brain drain that perpetuates the innovation gap. The irony is that many breakthrough technologies could theoretically be used to democratize education. AI tutors, virtual reality training, remote laboratories, but deploying these solutions requires the very resources and expertise that are already unequally distributed. Every revolutionary tech reveals infrastructure limitations that weren't apparent before. Electric vehicles exposed the inadequacy of power grids and charging networks. Advanced manufacturing requires ultra-reliable internet and precision supply chains. Telemedicine needs high-speed connectivity and digital literacy. 5G networks, essential for next-generation applications, require infrastructure investments of, another figure, $200 to $300 billion in the US alone. Globally, the price tag reaches into the trillions. That investment is happening, but it's prioritizing urban areas in wealthy countries first. Precision agriculture technologies that could revolutionize farming in developing nations require satellite connectivity, weather monitoring systems, and soil sensors that cost more than many farmers make in a year. The technology exists to help small-scale farmers to optimize yields and reduce environmental impact, but the infrastructure to deliver it doesn't. Gene therapy could treat genetic diseases that disproportionately affect underserved populations, but it requires cold storage chains, specialized medical facilities, and regulatory frameworks that most healthcare systems lack. As technologies become more powerful, they require more sophisticated regulation. That regulatory capacity is itself a form of infrastructure that's unequally distributed. The European Union's AI Act, effective since 2024, sets global standards for artificial intelligence deployment, but implementing those standards requires legal expertise, compliance systems, and monitoring capabilities that many organizations lack. The result is that only well-resourced entities can navigate the regulatory landscape effectively. Gene therapy regulation requires expertise in genetics, clinical trials, manufacturing standards, and long-term safety monitoring. Space technology regulation involves international treaties, orbital mechanics, and national security considerations. Quantum computing regulation touches on cryptography, national security, and international standards. Each regulatory framework creates another barrier to entry, which ensures that only organizations with significant resources can participate in cutting-edge innovation. Perhaps the most insidious barrier is the intellectual property system itself. As technologies become more complex, patent portfolios become more valuable and more defensive. Major technology companies hold thousands of patents that can block competitors from entering markets. The cost of licensing essential patents for smartphones, for example, can represent 10 to 15% of device costs. For emerging technologies like gene therapy or quantum computing, patent tickets are even more complex. This creates a system where innovation builds on previous innovation, but access to that foundation requires either massive licensing fees or equally massive patent portfolios for cross-licensing. New entrants, especially from developing regions, find themselves locked out, not by technical inability, but by legal complexity. The result is that breakthrough technologies tend to be controlled by a small number of entities that own the essential intellectual property, regardless of where the actual innovation occurs. Let's be honest about where democratization has actually worked. Mobile phones genuinely transformed global communication, right? With penetration rates exceeding 100% in many developing countries, solar panel costs have dropped 90% since 2010, making renewable energy accessible worldwide. Open source software has created platforms that anyone can use and modify. These successes share common characteristics. They benefit from network effects that make widespread adoption profitable. They don't require massive ongoing infrastructure investments. And they have regulatory environments that encourage competition rather than concentration. But for every mobile phone success story, there are thousands of technologies that followed the exclusivity pattern. Autonomous vehicles, advanced medical devices, precision manufacturing, space tech, all remain concentrated among those who can afford the full ecosystem of supporting infrastructure. Personally, I think the real danger is using the occasional success stories to justify the more common technological apartheid. The real crisis isn't any single technology being exclusive. It's the compound effect of multiple breakthrough technologies being simultaneously accessible only to the same privileged populations. Imagine a hospital system that can't afford advanced imaging, gene therapy, AI diagnostics, robotic surgery, or precision medicine. They are not just behind on one technology, they're excluded from an entire generation of medical capability. Consider a manufacturing region that lacks access to advanced robotics, AI optimization, 3D printing, smart sensors, and automated quality control. They are not competing with traditional factories, they are competing with fully automated AI-optimized production systems. Think about educational institutions without access to VR learning, AI tutoring, advanced lab equipment, high-speed internet, and digital collaboration tools. They're not just using older textbooks, they're preparing students for a world they can't simulate. This compound exclusion creates not just inequality, but qualitatively different experiences of reality. Some populations live in a world of exponential technological capability, while others experience incremental improvements to decade-old systems. Here's the deepest irony. The technologies that could most effectively democratize access, like AI tutoring, telemedicine, etc., are themselves subject to the same concentration dynamics they could theoretically solve. We have the technical capability to deliver high-quality education anywhere with an internet connection, but the AI systems that could enable that are controlled by a handful of companies. Sorry, that was a car. We could revolutionize healthcare in underserved regions with telemedicine and AI diagnostics, but those systems require infrastructure and expertise that those regions lack. The solutions to technological inequality require access to cutting-edge technology. It's a recursive problem that gets more complex as the technologies become more sophisticated. There are genuine efforts to address these challenges. The Gates Foundation invests billions in bringing advanced technologies to global health challenges. Universities create programs specifically designed to train students from underrepresented regions. Companies like Tesla patent share to accelerate electric vehicle adoption. Open source initiatives create accessible versions of proprietary technologies. International organizations are developing frameworks for technology transfer and capacity building. The UN Sustainable Development Goals explicitly address technology access. Regional development banks fund infrastructure projects that enable technology deployment. But we need to be realistic about scale and effectiveness. These efforts, while of course valuable, operate at the margins of a system that structurally concentrates technological capability among those who already have resources. The fundamental challenge isn't that specific technologies are expensive or exclusive, it's that our entire innovation system is designed to concentrate resources rather than distribute them. Venture capital flows to regions that already have technological infrastructure. Research and development happens at institutions that already have advanced capabilities. Regulatory systems favor entities that can afford compliance costs. Intellectual property systems protect incumbents more effectively than they encourage new entrants. The result is a self-reinforcing cycle where technological capability creates the resources needed to develop more technological capability, while those without access fall further behind with each innovation cycle. Breaking this cycle requires more than making individual technologies cheaper or easier to use. It requires rethinking how we fund innovation, how we share intellectual property, how we build infrastructure, and how we educate people to participate in technological development. Creating genuinely inclusive innovation requires systemic changes across multiple dimensions simultaneously. First, we need infrastructure investments that treat technological access as a public good rather than a market commodity. Just as we built roads, power grids, and water systems as shared infrastructure, we need to build digital infrastructure, advanced manufacturing capabilities, and research facilities as public resources. Second, we need educational systems that prepare people not just to use technologies, but to develop and adapt them. This means hands-on access to cutting-edge tools, not just theoretical knowledge about how they work. Third, we need intellectual property frameworks that balance innovation incentives with access requirements. This might mean shorter patent terms for essential technologies, compulsory licensing for breakthrough innovations, or new models for collaborative development. Fourth, we need regulatory systems that explicitly consider distributional effects when evaluating new technologies. Not just, is this safe and effective, but who will be able to access this and what will that mean for inequality? Fifth, we need financing mechanisms that support technology development and deployment in underserved markets. This means patient capital, risk-sharing arrangements, and business models that don't require massive upfront investments. The decisions we make about technology access in the next decade will determine whether innovation becomes a force for greater human flourishing or deeper inequality. We're at a unique moment where multiple breakthrough technologies are emerging simultaneously. AI, quantum computing, gene therapy, as I mentioned before, all of them, each has the potential to solve fundamental human problems. But potential isn't destiny, right? These technologies will solve problems for those who can access them and potentially create new problems for those who can't. The current trajectory leads to a world where tech capability determines life outcomes more directly than ever before. Not just wealth or education or location, but access to the tools that amplify human capability. That's not inevitable. But changing it requires acknowledging that technological progress and technological access are different problems that require different solutions. The question isn't whether breakthrough technologies will continue emerging. They will. The question isn't whether they'll be transformative. They already are. The question is whether we'll build systems that share the benefits of innovation broadly or concentrate them among those who already have advantages. That choice isn't abstract. It's embedded in every funding decision, every patent filing, every infrastructure investment, every educational program, every regulatory framework we create. We are not passive observers of technological progress. We are active participants in determining who gets to shape the future and who gets left behind. The promise of technology has always been that it would make impossible things possible. For some people, in some places, that promise is being fulfilled in spectacular ways. For others, technology's main impact is making clear just how much they've been left behind. The tools to bridge that gap exist. The resources to deploy them exist. What is missing is the will to treat technological access as a shared responsibility rather than an individual achievement. Because in the end, innovation without inclusion isn't progress. It's just another form of inequality with better marketing. Thank you for joining us on Us and Tomorrow. This was a very long episode. Thank you so much for finishing it. I am your host, Belinda Chen. If today's episode changed how you think about who gets to benefit from human ingenuity, share it with someone who needs to hear this conversation. Because the future isn't something that happens to us, it's something we build together or not at all.